This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael Chivala. For those I haven't had the opportunity to meet yet, and welcome especially also to everyone visiting with us for the first time. Every time I have slides up, when I'm up here, I usually have a picture of my wife, or even the last time I was up here, of my family, but there's no pictures today because they are actually here. Our daughter turned 5 weeks yesterday, and she's in the house for the first time. So, she's around here somewhere. Good. No, it's been, it's an area in our lives where we've really learned that all life, you know, comes from God, and before she's even our daughter, she's His, and He's kept her, and the mother. Yeah, it's just such a blessing, because you realize that there's so little you can do. This life is totally in God's hands. So we just praise Him really for everything that we've had. She's healthy. She's getting fat. Those are all good things. Today, the sermon hopefully will not be that long. I don't know, maybe not. Actually, you should never believe it when someone who's preaching says that, because 9 times out of 10, it's not true. But I wanted to share a little bit about what we experienced at men's camp last week, and things that God spoke to us about at men's camp last week. Just a show of hands, the dudes, the guys who were at men's camp, where are they? You can all see them because they've increased like 2 centimeters in waist. Because we had a spit bra the Saturday, and I can tell you now, it was not healthy. There was too much meat. There was too much meat, garlic bread. Like, I still, okay, not now, but probably still the Monday, I still smelled like garlic. But it was wonderful, and it was really a wonderful time that weekend that we got to spend there. And there's a couple of things that came from that weekend that I want to share with the whole church this morning. Before I start, we've had quite an interesting, couple of weeks. We had the worship evening. We had men's camp as well. We had the prayer Sunday. So I just want to open the floor up before we start. For anybody who's got a testimony or anything that they experienced over the last couple of weeks, and the reason we do this will become apparent, but in short, it's just to encourage and lift up the body of Christ. So if there's anyone out there who's got a testimony, who's got something to share, if you can just come up so long.
Hi, everybody. So the first point on Mike's slide, stop. So that was part of the first part of the men's camp that we had. And the first speaker spoke on that quite extensively. And the funny thing is, at the camp, it didn't feel like it really made an impact on me. But as soon as I got back into the working week and my routine and everything, I literally just sat and I told my wife, I really need to stop. I really feel like God's telling me to stop and just to reconsider what I'm doing, like almost like Nudia also shared. start thinking critically about actually everything that I'm doing. Why am I doing it? And so this week I took half a day basically and just didn't have anything planned for it, didn't have anything on the program, and just stopped. And it was amazing. Like, there was so much that God came to me and spoke to me about. The way just about thinking about certain things afterwards has really changed, and is a process. It's not something that happens once and then it's done. But I really want to encourage everybody, not only the men that were at men's camp, have some time where you do not have anything planned. Because if we have something, some open time, then we tend to think, we can put this in there, we can put this in there. And then you come to a place where you realize, I don't have time to stop. But have some time where you don't have anything planned, and then see what God can do with that.
Amen. Thank you, Arne. I'd like to call up a brother that we met at the men's camp. His name is Jeremiah. He's all the way from Ovitoto, which is actually not so far. But I just want to open the floor to him also to share a little bit about what he's doing at Ovitoto and how he got there.
Thank you. God bless the church. I greet you all in the wonderful name of Jesus. My name is Jeremiah Kasume. I'm born again in Windhoek. I'm a Namibian. Even I'm wearing a Kenyan thing. So my short testimony is I became a Christian in school when I was 14 in 1990. And I went to school here at Academia High School. I became a prefect at that high school. When I was 17, I was adopted by a white Afrikaner family. I lived in their house. Mama, her name was Rosalie Greyling, Dr. Greyling, and her husband was Veli Greyling. So we were very quite an active family. We were a sporty family. We used to run marathon. I used to run marathon. I was very much involved in sport. So last year, June, after all this year being a Christian, I really started looking for myself. I went in a village called Ovitoto. I don't know whether you know Ovitoto. It's near Midkart. It's just a village. And I started really, before we went, I fasted and I prayed till the Lord launched me in this village. And when we came in the village, we found that this village is a lot of people are not born again. There is no church. And really, there was a family that had a death. Someone died. It was this domestic violence. And then we started really meeting the people house to house. And you know, you don't believe, we had no finance support. We just went by faith. And the Lord started walking there. Miracles started happening. The Lord started really. Then the community themselves came to us. They said, no, let us go to the traditional leader to get land. The Lord provided 3 hectares of land in the communal area. And now we are trusting God to even develop that land. And we met shofars at Walfish Bay. We went to a community church in Walfish Bay. And we met Pastor JP in Walfish Bay. And then we met there and he invited us to shofars. And when we went to worship in Shofar, we really liked the church. So we came here just to share with you the testimony. We are there in Ovitoto. Because, you know, in a communal area, I'm Herero. And you know, in our people, they have this ancestral worship. They believe in ancestral worship. They have their stronghold. A lot of things are happening there. So I just wanted to come and share this testimony with the church. So this is a small picture I'm having of the church ground. And this is just a miracle that the Lord did. And there is a lot of victory that we got. Because if you are in God, when you pray, when you fast, God do miracles. You know, there are a lot of things that happen in that village. God is healing people. So we just wanted to share also this with the church. Thank you for the church also. We went to the men camp. It was a wonderful camp to be with the men also at Otecos. And God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeremiah. It's such a pleasure really to see at events like this, people from different churches and denominations coming together. Because the reality is there are people in our country, I'm not even talking outside the world, in our country that we are not best positioned to reach. There are people that God is raising up from these places to reach them. And it's God's desire for every man to come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus. And so it's so important for us as believers to be connected, to know what's going on, and to actually challenge ourselves to step out and go as we'll all share again this morning. So the message, this title I actually stole, I'm supposed to reference there, but Mr. Johan Klaassen, he shared quite extensively, was one of the speakers at the camp, and this is what he titled his message, or a lot of what he shared was based on this. And we're somewhere going to jump into it. And we went to the men's camp. What stood out for me, one of the most important things, was I saw 24-hour church. I saw people having church like from the Friday to the Sunday. And don't get me wrong, we weren't sitting in sessions the whole time. But, I mean, we did all kinds of things. We had the spit braai, we had sports. We had all kinds of things going on, but the whole time I could see this different atmosphere. It was so great to see that outside of a church building and in sort of like a world context, men like encouraging each other, taking opportunities, you know, to get to know one another and speaking about God, but not just about godly things, but about life things. in a godly context. Men talking about work, about family, you know, and sharing on what God's done in their lives. And it was also great to see that there were a lot of, let's say, rough diamonds. You know, not your typical guys that you expect to see at a religious or spiritual church camp. You know, there were guys, you know, doing different things. But the amazing thing is they felt welcome. They felt welcome to be there. They felt at home, you know, and they felt challenged, but in a positive way, to step out and grow. So you had guys responding to different parts of the altar call, you know, guys who had, you know, issues with unforgiveness or who had offense. And, you know, it's like rough guys, you know, standing up and taking those steps. So it was really great to see just how taking this time, putting this time aside, created this platform for God to come and be there. I can't even say like he came there to do lots of things, but just to come and be there. So the first scripture I want to share there is in Luke 10:38-42. And we know the scripture so well. It says here, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered the village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching." Let me just get that slide. "But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" The NIV goes as far to say, one thing is, you're troubled about many things, and there's that only that one thing that you should actually be focusing on. And this is that the difference between Martha and Mary is that Mary chose to sit at the Lord's feet, to be in his presence, to put time aside, despite the many things, which were all legitimate. Work is legitimate. Friends, maybe friends who aren't saved, family, these are all legitimate things. But when Scripture says the many things, this is what it means. The things that distract us from being in God's presence. And Mary takes a moment to sit there, and Jesus goes on to say that she has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. Keep that somewhere in the back of the mind, because it'll come up. It's a recurring theme in what I want to share today. But that was really great to see at men's camp, that this was happening the whole time. That the focus the whole time was on setting time aside for God, regardless of what we were doing. And there were kids there. There were guys who had their sons there. There were older guys there. It was really mixed. But all across the age groups, all across people who came from different places, you had this the whole time. And the focus is what defined what was happening. Because in life, we've got these many things. And even if we think of our own lives, if you think about, you know, when you retire one day and stuff, me personally, I think, okay, when I retire, I'll be with my still beautiful wife, and we'll have time to travel and do the Lord's work, and we'll be able to watch our grandkids grow. You know, I think about this peacefulness that will be there, you know, when I reach that age. And the implication of that is that actually has an effect on how I live now. The choices that I make now, whether it's career, whether it's where I move to, I'm thinking, okay, where can I pay off a house the quickest? Which career path, you know, where will I have enough time to spend with family? And these aren't wrong things. These are all legitimate things, but these are the many things. Because the devil's greatest trick was to change our end goal. Because if I were to ask you, you know, me retiring, watching my grandkids grow, you know, having time to travel and for the Lord and spend time with my wife, if I were to ask you, is that wrong? Everybody would say, no, that's totally legit. But if I were to ask you, is that a biblical view? would you answer this quickly? Is that a biblical view to think, okay, I'm 30 now, retire when I'm 60, I got 30 years to get my ducks in a row and set up this post-60 life? But is that a biblical view? Let's look at the next scripture. Philippians 3, 12 to 16. It says there, this is Paul speaking, and he says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Jesus Christ has made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. So scripture here is telling us that, man, if we are to have a goal, if we are to have this end, you know, this aim, that as we walk this path of life, wherever we go, our compass always points to this one thing. It's this: the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in what? In Christ Jesus. Nothing else. And then it says, very importantly, scripture is absolute genius, I tell you. It says, let those of us who are mature think this way. So it says, it's not just a truth that you should keep in your heart. It's not just something that you should hear and then know is true and believe. But it says, think like this. Because what does it say? So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what we see as an end goal, where we aim towards, that determines how we get there. Because we do what we believe. It's just really important for us to have a biblical view when we look at our own lives, when we look at our future. Because I can have a plan to retire when I'm 60, or, you know, if I'm really successful before then. But scripture here is saying that upward call is really the only goal, and we know that that upward call could be any time before that 60, and any time afterwards. So that should really affect how we take every step on the way to that end goal. And this was really something that I felt that God was laying on my heart for us to stop and meditate on. Because even in sport, we have this thing called a follow-through. I don't know if you play golf, when you swing the ball, you hit, but then you follow through. In basketball, when you shoot, you have this follow-through with your hand. And it's God just showed me that picture to show that because we are focusing on that follow-through, because we have in mind to do this thing at the end, which doesn't even seem important, you know, if you, with respect to the aim, you know, you're hitting the ball, you're shooting the ball. Whatever happens afterwards, nobody even focuses on. But it's so important because that determines how we hit the ball. It determines how we shoot the ball. It determines how we live our lives, that end goal. The next thing that Johan shared on was for us to receive. Really, that when we stop, when we recognize that there's a moment in time that God wants to invest in us spiritually, wants to drop something in our spirit, that we open ourselves up to receive. Let's look at that next scripture. It's quite a lengthy one, and it's not... Hold on there. My slides are gone, all out of whack. Okay, here we go. So Jesus meets a woman from Samaria. We start from verse 7, and we won't go through all of them. Just make sure it's Luke 10 there, if someone has a Bible, someone from the old school who actually has a Bible here. It is Luke 10, right? Is it not? Come now. Let me just check in my slides. Sorry, this sermon was put together. If I had to tell you the time, you'd be shocked. The reference there is not right, but the scripture is right. Just hold on. See. Anyone there to verify for us? Show of hands. John 4, thanks. It is John 4. So it starts there in verse 7. It says, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and I would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. So the woman meets Jesus and recognizes that he's a Jew. She's a Samaritan, and the law of the day meant that Jews and Samaritans were not to mix, not to mingle. In fact, the Samaritans were not seen very high by the Jews. Now, she recognizes obstacles to them communicating. She says, okay, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan, we shouldn't communicate. And she looks past it. And then he says to her, you know, give me a drink. And he speaks of water. And she recognizes another obstacle because she's thinking in a logic, you don't even have anything to draw water with. So even there, like, there's an obstacle to their communication. But then she chooses to look past that as well. If we skip forward to verse 24. Sorry. No, if we stay there actually. Verse 11 says, the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water. In 15, sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water. This is now in response to living water. Verse 19, the woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. So the woman at the well, she looks past these obstacles in their communication before she even knows who Jesus is or that he has any particular status or anything like that. She chooses to look past all of these things, and then she recognizes that he's a prophet. But even then, she doesn't know he's the Messiah yet. In verse 24, Jesus says, God is spirit, and those who worship him in spirit, worship him, must worship him in spirit and truth. And the woman said to him, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I, who speak to you, am he. Verse 28, so the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, come and see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? So she chooses to listen. She asks for this living water before she even knows that Jesus is the Messiah or that is Jesus. She chooses to look past everything in the natural that would cause them not to communicate. And Jesus recognizes this willingness in her. But it's so pivotal to what happens next in a life. Jesus talks about living water. He says, I will give you water, and that water will spring up in you into springs of living life. Meaning that what she has received will come out, and other people will benefit from that. He says that there. And watch how it happens immediately. Then the people responding to what she said in Samaria says, they went out of the town and were coming to him, to Jesus now. That's verse 30. Verse 34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Many Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me all that I ever did, was her words. Verse 40, So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed of his word. And they said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves. And we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. So this woman receives living water. This living water springs up in her. She goes back to town. She shares this living water. This living water springs up in everybody else. And Jesus said it like right then. And it's amazing to note that there were so many points in time there where things could have gone wrong. Like I said, there were reasons for her not to talk to Jesus. Jesus says to her in the same part of Scripture that, go and get your husband. And she says, well, yes, I've had five. So she's not particularly, in terms of status, in terms of somebody who, if they came to you with something weird, like you wouldn't necessarily listen to them because of who they were. She didn't really have the pull or the clout to just say, come, all of you, we're going. This is important. People knew who she was, but somehow they recognized that she had been in the presence of the Messiah. She says, can this be the Christ? They recognized in this woman who was shunned from society, basically an outcast, in this woman who comes back, they recognize that something's happened and we need to respond. And that for me is incredible. Because there are people here today, and I felt God really laid it strongly on my heart, that you feel that you're not quite worthy to share the gospel, to share God's love. You feel like there are things you've done or things that you experienced. There are things that you think you haven't quite accomplished yet. You feel like you're not there yet. And you actually look down on your own testimony and say, well, it's not quite an amazing story. I mean, who wants to hear that? There are people here who look at themselves with the eyes of the world and say, well, I can only do so much. I can only be so much. The truth is, God shows it here that in an instant, he shares his word with somebody so not worthy. And they testify powerfully just because they were willing. Just because they were willing to receive. God was able to powerfully reach others. And that's us today. That's me, that's you. That there's so much that God wants to do in us and through us. And when we look with the eyes of the world, we think that we need to be at a certain place so that he can do that. But Scripture's telling us all you have to do is be willing. The woman received from Christ. But she didn't even just go and regurgitate what she got. She didn't go and tell people about living water and springs of life, etc. She made what Christ gave her her own. She said, this is what happened in my heart when Christ shared these things. And that's what she shared. And that's what changed people's lives. And Christ is calling us today, this morning, and every day to make our own what we experience, to stop, to take the time to create this platform for Him to speak to us. But then to take that, to receive that, but allow it to change us. Just allow it. Which is the hard part. A very interesting aspect to what Oom Johan shared was that he had stop, receive, and then he had keep. And I battled with it for a while, and I thought, I mean, you have received it, so you've got it, right? So why the emphasis on the keep? Let's look at the next scripture. Revelations 3:3. Remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. And scripture really here is talking about a place where, oh, thank you, Sarah. Bless you. Living water, yeah. It's a place where we align ourselves. We change the direction of our compass to stay true to that which we've received. To keep is to take every step believing, knowing the truth, having it, but always showing that same truth, sharing that same truth. And the last aspect of that is action. He says, remember then what you have received and heard. Keep it and repent. That us being made aware of God's presence in our lives to transform us, being aware of those things that He drops in our spirits, the change that He's doing in us, it demands that we respond. It demands that we act. That if that woman went from the well and went home, that so many people would not have received. It doesn't say how far the well was from her home, but all the while, she was meditating on these things that she had received. She was processing what God had laid on her heart. And then she took the opportunity to take action. And it's probably in Scripture, this is, you know, Scripture doesn't really talk about, you have to read between the lines to see people keeping that which they're receiving. To see people actually getting a word from God. And we always see is they get a word from God and they act. But in between, there's this whole process of them meditating and taking ownership of that which they received. The greatest aspect, I guess, of this, or one of the great aspects of what Oom Johan shared was the last, and that is to go. And we know the scriptures. We know the Great Commission, Matthew 28. All authority in heaven has been given to me. Go, therefore, in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples. We know all of these scriptures. So we know it's true. We know it's important. But for some reason, we don't. And I felt really that God was calling us to take that next step, that go step, to realize that He's placed these things in us, and it's for now. That woman at the well experienced what Jesus said. She experienced it right there, then. It came to be true right there. And God is saying the same to us this morning, that what He's sharing with us, what He's laying on our hearts is for now. Revelation 21, from verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. For the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God, and he will be my son." Let us stand. When we think about going to share this, that what we've been given, it's so challenging. It shakes us because, you know, we have to go and confront people and share this message with them. And our motivation sometimes isn't right. Sometimes our motivation is that's just what we have to do. But Scripture here speaks of a place where there's no suffering anymore. A place where there's no pain anymore. A place where Christ wants to make things whole, where he looks at us and says he wants to dwell with us. And when we think of this end goal, if we imagine ourselves in heaven, no sibling, no father, no mother, no parent, no husband or wife will want to be there without the people they love. No one would want to not share this with the people they love. And I felt God speak to me and say that this is the motivation to go. As challenging as it may be, the alternative can't be an option. This has to be the reason why we go. If we can just bow our heads, close our eyes. Yes, Father God, we thank you, Lord, that your presence is the ultimate gift and that your presence, Father, is here with us. We thank you, Lord, that we don't need to do anything, that you will give us living water without payment. Because you died for us, Lord, your blood washes us clean and makes us worthy to come and sit at your feet, worthy to be called sons and daughters of Christ, of God, and co-heirs with Christ. Thank you, Lord. Receive the praises from this heart, these hearts, Father. Receive these prayers this morning, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit will minister with power, Father. Just like the Samaritan woman, that people will leave here ready to experience, Father, your words come true. That, Father God, you will minister with that same power, Lord, that raised Christ from the dead, that as you place it in the hearts, Father, that chains can be broken, that walls and obstacles can be shattered, Father, that people can be set free, Father, released from bondage, Lord. be it addictions, be it habits, be it relationships, whatever the case may be, Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit, Lord, this morning will minister in such a powerful way to each one, Lord, that each one will leave here with something of their own and something you want them to share. And thank you, Lord, that you do the rest. You change the hearts of men. You prepare men, Lord. You change us, not us. Thank you, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless each one and keep each one. And yeah, just keep the word that you've laid on each heart. For we know it will not return void. It'll be fruitful, Lord. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.